Welcome to day 252 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and I'm so glad that you've joined me today as we continue through the Word of God. Today's reading will come from Ezekiel chapters 40, 41, and 42, and we are reading from the Amplified Bible. Tomorrow we will switch over to the New American Standard Bible, and then we will have just two more days left until we complete this amazing book of the prophet Ezekiel. But for today, we are beginning at Ezekiel chapter 40, starting at verse 1. In the 25th year of our captivity by Babylon, in the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city of Jerusalem was taken, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me to that place. In the visions of God, he brought me into the land of Israel, and set me down upon a very high mountain, on the south side of which there was what seemed to be the structure of a city. He brought me there, and behold, there was a man, an angel, whose appearance was like bronze, with a line of flax and a measuring reed in his hand, and he stood in the gateway. And the man said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears, and set your heart and mind on all that I will show you, for you are brought here that I may show them to you. Declare all that you see to the house of Israel. And behold, there was a wall all around the outside area of the house of the Lord, and in the man's hand a measuring reed, 6 long cubits in length, each cubit being longer than the usual one by a hand breadth. So he measured the thickness of the wall, 1 reed, and the height, 1 reed. Then he came to the gate, which faced the east, and went up its 7 steps, and measured the threshold of the gateway, 1 reed broad, and the other threshold of the gateway inside the thick wall, 1 reed broad. And every room for the guards was 1 reed long and 1 reed broad, and the space between the guard rooms or lodges was 5 cubits. And the threshold of the gate by the porch or vestibule of the gateway within was 1 reed. He measured also the porch or vestibule of the gate toward the house of the Lord, 1 reed. Then he measured the porch or vestibule of the gateway, 8 cubits, and its posts or jambs, 2 cubits. And the porch or vestibule of the gate was inside toward the house of the Lord. And the guard rooms or lodges of the east gateway were 3 on this side and 3 on that side. The 3 were the same size, and the posts or jambs were the same size on either side. And he measured the breadth of the opening of the gateway, 10 cubits, and the length of the gateway, 13 cubits. And a border or barrier before the guard rooms was 1 cubit on this side, and a border or barrier 1 cubit on that side. And the guard rooms or lodges were 6 cubits on this side, and 6 cubits on that side. And the man, an angel, measured the gate from the outer wall of 1 chamber or guard room to the outer wall of another, a breadth of 25 cubits from door to door. And the open part of the porch or vestibule of the gateway on the outside was 20 cubits. The chambers or guard rooms of the gate being round about, and including this porch or vestibule of the gate on the outside, and the porch or vestibule on the inside, the extent was 50 cubits. And there were closed windows to the guard rooms or chambers and to their posts or pillars within the gate round about, and likewise to the archway or vestibule, and the windows were round about facing into the court, and upon each post or pillar were palm tree decorations. Then he brought me into the outward court, and behold, there were chambers, and a pavement round about the court, 30 chambers fronted on the pavement. And the pavement was along by the side of the gates, answerable to the length of the gateways. This was the lower pavement. Then the man measured the distance from the inner front, from the lower gate to the outer front of the inner court, 100 cubits, both on the east and on the north. And the gate of the outward court, which faced the north of it, he measured both the length and the breadth. And its guard rooms or lodges, 3 on this side and 3 on that side, and its posts or pillars and archway or vestibule were the same size as those of the first gate. The length was 50 cubits and the breadth 25 cubits. And its windows and its archway or vestibule and its palm trees were of the same size as those of the gate that faces toward the east. It was reached by going up 7 steps, and the archway of its vestibule was on the inner side. Opposite the gate on the north and on the east was a gate to the inner court. And he, the man with the measuring rod of reed, measured from gate to gate 100 cubits. After that, the man brought me toward the south, and behold, there was a gate on the south. And he measured its posts or pillars and its archway or vestibule. They measured as the others did. And there were windows round about in it, and in its archway or vestibule, like those windows in the other gateways. Its length was 50 cubits and its breadth 25 cubits. And there were 7 steps going up to the gate, and its archway or vestibule was on the inside, and it had palm trees, 1 on this side and another on that side, carved on its posts or pillars. And there was a gate to the inner court on the south, and he measured from gate to gate toward the south 100 cubits. And the man, an angel, brought me into the inner court by the south gate, and he measured the south gate. Its measurements were the same as those of the other gateways. And its guard rooms or chambers, and its posts or pillars, and its archway or vestibule measured as did the others. And there were windows in the gateway and in its archway or vestibule round about. Its length was 50 cubits, and its breadth 25 cubits. And there was an archway or a vestibule round about 25 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. And its arched vestibule faced the outer court, and palm trees were carved upon its posts or pillars, and the steps going up to it were 8. And he brought me into the inner court toward the east, and he measured the gate. It measured the same as the others. And its guard rooms or chambers and its posts or pillars and its archway or vestibule measured as did the others. And there were windows in it and in its arched vestibule round about. The gateway was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. And its arched vestibule faced the outer court. And palm trees were carved upon its posts or pillars on either side. And the steps leading to it were 8. And the man, an angel, brought me to the north gate and measured it. The measurements were the same as those of the other gates. Its guard rooms or chambers, its posts or pillars, its arched vestibule, and the windows to it round about were of the same size as the others. The length of the gateway was 50 cubits and the width was 25 cubits. And its posts or pillars were toward the outer court, and palm trees were carved upon them on either side, and the approach to it had 8 steps. There was an attached chamber with its door beside the posts or pillars of the gates where the burnt offering was to be washed. And in the porch or vestibule of the gate were 2 tables on this side and 2 tables on that side, on which to slay the burnt offering and the sin offering and the trespass or guilt offering. And on the one side without, as one goes up to the entrance of the gate to the north, were 2 tables. And on the other side at the vestibule of the gate were 2 tables. Four tables were on the inside and four tables on the outside of the side of the gate. Eight tables upon which the sacrifices were to be slain. Moreover, there were four tables of hewn stone for the burnt offering, a cubit and a half long, a cubit and a half broad, and one cubit high. Upon them were to be laid the instruments with which were slain the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And slabs or hooks, a handbreadth long, were fastened within the room round about. Upon the tables was to be placed the flesh of the offering. Then the man, an angel, led me from without into the inner court. And behold, there were two chambers in the inner court, one beside the north gate, but facing south, and one beside the south gate, but looking toward the north. And the man, an angel who was guiding me, said, "This chamber, with its view to the south, is for the priests who have charge of the house of the Lord. And the chamber with its view to the north is for the priests who have charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok, who alone among the sons of Levi may come near to the Lord to minister to him." And he measured the court, 100 cubits long and 100 cubits broad, 4 square. And the altar was in front of the house of the Lord. Then he brought me to the porch or vestibule of the temple proper, and he measured each post or pillar of the porch, 5 cubits on either side, and the width of the gate was 3 cubits for this leaf and 3 cubits for that one. And the length of the porch or vestibule was 20 cubits, and the breadth 11 cubits. And he brought me by the steps by which it was reached. And there were 2 pillars standing on the posts as bases, or beside them, 1 on either side of the entrance. Chapter 41. And the man, an angel, brought me to the holy place of the temple, and measured the wall pillars, 6 cubits broad on one side of the 10-cubit door, and 6 cubits broad on the other side, which was the breadth of the tabernacle or tent, later called the temple. And the breadth of the entrance was 10 cubits, and the leaves of the door were 5 cubits on the one side and 5 cubits on the other side. And he measured its length, 40 cubits, and its breadth, 20 cubits. Then the man, being an angel and unrestricted, went inside the inner room, but went alone, and measured each post of the door, 2 cubits, the doorway, 6 cubits, and the breadth of the entrance, 7 cubits. And he measured the length of the interior of the second room, in the temple proper, 20 cubits, and the breadth, 20 cubits. And he came out and said to me, "This is the most holy place, the holy of holies." Then he measured the wall of the temple, 6 cubits thick to accommodate side chambers, and the breadth of every side chamber, 4 cubits, round about the temple proper on every side. These side chambers were 3 stories high, one over another, and 30 in each story. And they entered into the wall which belonged to the house for the side chambers round about, that they might have hold of the wall of the house. But they did not have hold of the wall of the temple. And the side rooms became broader as they encompassed the temple higher and higher. For the encircling of the house went higher and higher round about the temple. Therefore the breadth of the house continued upward. So one went up from the lowest story to the highest one by way of the middle story on a winding stairway. I saw also that the temple had an elevation or foundation platform round about it. The foundations of the side chambers measured a full reed measure of 6 long cubits. The thickness of the outer wall of the side chambers was 5 cubits, as was the width of that part of the foundation that was left free of the side chambers that belonged to the house. And between the free space of the foundation platform and the chambers was a breadth of 20 cubits round about the temple on every side, and the doors of the attached side chambers opened on the free space that was left, one door toward the north, another door toward the south, and the breadth of the space on the foundation platform that was left free was 5 cubits round about. And the building that faced the temple yard on the west side was 70 cubits broad, and the wall of the building was 5 cubits thick, round about, and its length 90 cubits. And the man, an angel in my vision, measured the temple 100 cubits long, and the yard and the building with its walls 100 cubits long. Also, the breadth of the east front of the temple and the yard 100 cubits. Then the man, an angel, measured the length of the building on the west side of the yard, with its walls on either side, 100 cubits. The holy place of the temple, the inner holy of holies, and the outer vestibule were roofed over, and all three had latticed windows all around. The inside walls of the temple were paneled with wood round about from the floor up to the windows and from the windows to the roof, including the space above the door leading to the inner room, inside and out. And on the walls round about in the inner room and the holy place were carvings with figures of cherubim and palm trees, so that a palm tree was between a cherub and a cherub. And every cherub had 2 faces, so that the face of a man was toward the palm tree on the one side, and the face of a young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. It was made this way through all the house round about. From the floor to above the entrance were cherubim and palm trees made, and also on the wall of the temple, the holy place. The door frames of the temple were squared, and in front, outside of the sanctuary or holy of holies, was what appeared to be an altar of wood, 3 cubits high and 2 cubits long and wide, and its corners, its base, and its sides were of wood. And the man, an angel, said to me, "This is the table that is before the Lord." And the temple or holy place and the sanctuary or holy of holies had 2 doors, one for each of them. And the doors had 2 leaves apiece, 2 folding leaves, 2 leaves from the one door and 2 leaves for the other door. And there were carved on them, on the doors of the temple, cherubim and palm trees, like those carved upon the walls. And there was also a canopy of wood in front of the porch outside. And there were recessed windows and palm trees on the one side and on the other side of the porch. Thus were the side chambers and the canopies of the house. Chapter 42. Then the man, an angel, brought me forth into the outer court northward, and he brought me to the attached chambers that were opposite the temple yard and were opposite the building on the north. Before the long side of 100 cubits was the door toward the north, and the breadth was 50 cubits. Adjoining the 20 cubits, which belonged to the inner court, and opposite the pavement, which belonged to the outer court, was balcony facing balcony in 3 stories. And before the attached chambers was a walk inward of 10 cubits breadth and 100 cubits long, and their doors were on the north. Now the upper chambers were shorter, for the balconies took off from these more than from the lower and middle chambers of the building, for they were in 3 stories, but did not have pillars as the pillars of the outer court. Therefore the upper chambers were set back more than the lower, and the middle ones from the ground. And the wall or fence that was outside, opposite and parallel to the chambers, toward the outer court before the chambers, was 50 cubits long. For the length of the combined chambers that were on the outer court was 50 cubits, while the length of those opposite the temple was 100 cubits. And under these chambers was the entrance on the east side, as one approached them from the outer court. In the breadth of the wall of the court, going toward the east, Before the yard and before the building were the chambers with a passage before them that gave the appearance of the attached chambers on the north, of the same length and breadth, with similar exits and arrangements and doors. And like the doors of the chambers that were toward the south, there was an entrance at the head of the way before the dividing wall toward the east as one enters them. Then said the man, an angel, to me, "The north chambers and the south chambers, which are opposite the yard, are the holy chambers, where the priests who approach the Lord shall eat the most holy offerings. There shall they lay the most holy things, the meal offering, the sin offering, and the trespass or guilt offering, for the place is holy. When the priests enter the holy place, they shall not go out of it into the outer court unless they lay aside there the garments in which they minister, for these are holy, separate, and set apart. They shall put on other garments before they approach that which is for the people." Now when he had finished measuring the inner temple area, he brought me forth toward the gate which faces east and measured it, the outer area round about. He measured the east side with the measuring reed, 500 reeds with the measuring reed round about. He measured the north side, 500 reeds with the measuring reed round about. He measured the south side, 500 reeds with the measuring reed. He turned about to the west side and measured 500 reeds with the measuring reed. He measured it on the four sides. It had a wall round about, the length 500 reeds and the breadth 500, to make a separation between that which was holy, the temple proper, and that which was common, the outer area. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's Bible reading, we get a very fascinating vision that was given to the prophet Ezekiel by the Lord. And because of the way that Ezekiel wrote down the things that the Lord gave him, we are able to find out the timing of when he received these visions, because he specifies very clearly when he received his different words from the Lord. In the beginning of chapter 40, he said, "In the 25th year of our captivity by Babylon, in the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city of Jerusalem was taken, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me." Now, that is important, because you will understand that the 25th year after Ezekiel was taken captive into Babylon places the timing of this vision around 572 BC, and the time of the year was around Passover time, April in our calendar, and it was 14 years after the destruction of Jerusalem. So the temple had been burned, the gates had been burned, the wall had been torn down and burned. So it was 14 years after. So that's significant because of what the Lord shows Ezekiel. As we look into the second verse of chapter 40, it says, "In the visions of God, he brought me into the land of Israel and set me down upon a very high mountain, on the south side of which there was what seemed to be the structure of a city." Now imagine, Ezekiel has been in Babylon for 25 years. He knows by revelation and then later by actual report that the city of Jerusalem has been utterly destroyed and burned. Do you recall that in the 8th chapter we read that the Lord took Ezekiel in a vision or in the spirit back to Jerusalem, to Israel, and at that time he saw a vision of doom, of destruction, of the city being destroyed. The Lord gave him that vision before it happened. Now he's getting a second vision 14 years after the destruction of Jerusalem, a vision of a phenomenal restoration and rebuilding, specifically of the temple. Now, when we get to the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, we're going to hear about the Lord sending people back to Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple, and then later on through Nehemiah, the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. But what is seen in this vision by Ezekiel is not a fulfillment, or that rebuilding through Ezra and Nehemiah is not a fulfillment of what he saw here. What he saw in this vision is a end time vision, or what most scholars believe is essentially a millennial reign, a time when Jesus returns to the earth for the 1,000-year reign during the millennium. This is a temple that is rebuilt during that time because of the mere size of it. When we get to the book of Ezra and we see the temple being rebuilt, when it's finished, you'll hear of the elderly people that were around at a time when they had at least seen or heard of the glory of Solomon's temple. And when they see the temple that's rebuilt during the time of Ezra, it's like a shadow of it compared. It wasn't as glorious, wasn't as big, and the people wept because, yes, the temple was rebuilt, but it was nothing like in the days of Solomon. This temple, by the sheer magnitude of it, it's much larger. It's larger than Solomon's temple, and the area that the entire four square, it was a square compound, covers almost a mile square. That is almost a little bigger than the city of Jerusalem today covers. So it's not the same temple. The temple restored during the return from the captivity of Babylon that we're going to hear about in a few days is not a fulfillment of what we see here. This glorious temple that's described here in chapters 40, 41, and 42 that Ezekiel sees is a new thing. It's something that has not yet come to pass. And indeed, it appears to be what is going to happen in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. When we get to the book of Luke in chapter 21, we will hear Jesus himself saying about the end times, "Then shall they see the Son of Man coming with clouds and great glory, and he shall set his foot in that day on the Mount of Olives. It'll split in half. A new valley will be formed." And it's referring to the end time return of Christ for the reign of 1,000 years, when the Lord will reign on the earth and he will set his foot on that Mount of Olives. It'll split in half. There will be cataclysmic geographic changes. Literally, a valley will occur, and there will be mountain coming up, and there will be all kinds of physical geographic changes there in Jerusalem and in Israel. And that would make sense because this vision of Ezekiel's, where this very large temple reconstruction project is placed, there literally isn't enough room with the way the geography of Jerusalem is right now. But if there's these, and when there are these geographic changes, mountains are pushed up and a valley's created, and there's a larger mountain that's going to be called Mount Zion, will be big enough indeed for the new temple to be built. So we just know from all of these things that what is described here in Ezekiel has not yet come to pass. For me, this passage of scripture really speaks about the return of Christ and God's restoration for Israel and for the earth. And we have to, as believers, have a sense of how important the people of Israel are to the Lord. The Lord is going to great lengths, as we are seeing here in the book of Ezekiel, to bring restoration to the people and a restoration of relationship between God Himself and the people of Israel. You know, we live in a time right now where political Israel, the nation, political state of Israel, is probably one of the most controversial countries on the whole earth. And there's so much hatred toward Israel by many people, by many groups, by many different countries. And there are those countries who have pledged as part of their goal and purpose in life to wipe Israel off the map. Now, I'm not making any comment with regard to the political issues surrounding Israel. I have no interest in politics whatsoever. I am very interested in what the Bible says about Israel and about our relationship as Christians who have been grafted in to the vine of Abraham through the work of Christ. That's what we're told in the book of Romans, and when we get there, we'll discuss this more in a more deep way, but essentially it tells us that God is the vine and we're the branches, Jesus said in the book of John. But in Romans, it discusses this whole issue that though God Himself pruned some of His own branches, which were the Jews who persisted in unbelief and would not receive Him and would not receive the Messiah, Jesus, when He came. And so we, as Gentiles, have been grafted into the vine because of our belief in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who is given for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. But it also says in the book of Romans that the Jews, if they turn to the Lord, God will graft them in again. It says in Romans 11:23. And that's what we have seen here as we've been reading through the book of Ezekiel and through Jeremiah. We saw the Lord pruning His people Israel because of their unbelief, because they turned away from the Lord. But then there is this amazing promise that we see in Jeremiah, now here in Ezekiel, of God restoring the Jewish people back to Himself. And then this particular section we read today, chapters 40 through 42, speaks of this amazing restoration to the point where the Lord Himself, when He returns, will rebuild that temple. And the purpose is for worship of the Lord, and it'll be done in Israel, in Jerusalem. And then tomorrow, when we listen to the reading of chapter 43, we will hear the beautiful passages that talk about the glory of the Lord returning to the temple in Jerusalem. And that is a picture of God's relationship with the Jews being restored, where there's the presence of God among them. They're worshiping the one true God again. And it's a very profound and beautiful promise and picture of restoration. But as Christian believers who are Gentiles, and if you are a Messianic Jew who listens to this broadcast, we all know that together we are to worship the Lord together. We are to have a love for the Jewish people, for the people of Israel, just like God has. We are told in the book of Psalms that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that those who bless Israel will prosper. And the promise to Abraham was made that those who blessed Abraham and the Jews would be blessed, and those who cursed Abraham and the Jews would be cursed. That was a promise God made Himself to Abraham. And then we are told, as Christians, Gentile believers who have become spiritual sons of Abraham, that God has broken down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. In Ephesians 2:14, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Translation, it says it this way: "For He is Himself our peace, our bond of unity and harmony. He has made us, both Jew and Gentile, one body, and has broken down, destroyed, abolished the hostile dividing wall between us." That's God's heart, that we have God's attitude, the Lord's love toward the Jewish people, that as Gentiles, we recognize that through Christ Jesus, He's made us both Jew and Gentile one body and has broken down the dividing wall between us by abolishing it in His flesh. That's what verse 15 in Ephesians 2 says, so that He might create in Himself one new man. That is God's heart. And I bring all of that up to say this, that we've heard in this passage in Ezekiel of this amazing temple in Jerusalem that's going to be rebuilt and set up during the millennial reign of Christ, the Messiah. And we need to have a heart for the Jewish people so that we're always praying toward the things that God has already spoken are going to come to pass. And maybe you don't ever spend any time praying for the Jews or for Israel, but I want to encourage you to begin doing that. Let us do what the Word tells us. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let us pray for God to reveal Himself as Yeshua HaMashiach, which is Jesus the Messiah, to the Hebrew people. Let us pray that all of Israel shall be saved, that we will be in unity, Jew and Gentile together, made into one new man in Christ Jesus, rejoicing together over the grace of God that's been extended to all of us. And look at this vision that Ezekiel has seen, that the day is coming when we will all rejoice and worship God together on the Mount of Olives, on Mount Zion, in Israel, during the millennial reign of Christ, when we can know Him and literally have a time where we are walking with God on the earth, so to speak, when Jesus is here physically present for that millennial reign period of time, and it will be so glorious. But we need to pray not only for ourselves, not only for our own nation, but for the Jewish people. It is God's heart that His chosen people return to Him fully, to be fully engaged in a loving relationship with Him. Though for a season they were, so to speak, the branches that were pruned off because they did not believe the Lord. They turned away from the Lord, and they were the ones, according to the book of Romans, that were pruned. And we were grafted in, those who would accept and believe the work of Christ that was done on the cross for us. But now God is looking toward the future and wants us to do the same. Let us pray for the Jewish people. Let us have a heart for Israel. Let us ask the Lord to move among the Jewish people who are all over the world, and for the nation of Israel as well, that they would have a revelation of God's love for them and have a revelation that their Messiah has come and that He is reaching out to them with His love, grace, and mercy, and desire for total restoration. Let's pray that way this week. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the revelation of the true Prince of Peace for the Jewish people, so that that day will come and there will be a rejoicing in Israel as Jew and Gentile together worship the one true God. God bless you and give you a victorious week.